Reinvest in your wellness goals this September with savings on supplements. September 17th and 18th only, I'll be offering 10% off all products in my online Full Script supplement dispensary. September 17th and 18th, 2 days only, get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. It's the safest and most convenient way to purchase my curated supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast, free shipping and optional refill reminders via text or email. Never counterfeit or expired. Always stored and shipped correctly. It's safe, secure, and includes world-class customer service. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for 10% off and free shipping for 2 days only, September 17th and 18th. That's drhoffmanstore.com, drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'm very much looking forward to our discussion today because we're going to talk about the dangers of EMFs, electromagnetic fields. And it's a practical discussion because we are surrounded by EMFs, the devices we use, headsets that we use. I'm using one right now in my studio recording this podcast. We use earbuds constantly. We carry around cell phones. We tuck them around in our pockets. And so there's a lot of concern about it. With us today is Dr. Deborah Davis. Dr. Davis is a PhD. She also has a Master's of Public Health degree. She's the founder, senior fellow, and president emerita of something called EH Trust. Environmental Health Trust. Their website is ehtrust.org. She's also author of Disconnect, The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and How to Protect Your Family. And it's been a while since I've had a discussion with Dr. Davis. I think it was pre-COVID. COVID only accelerated our rush into EMF technology. More and more of us are spending time using electronic devices. So at the very same time that this industry has advanced, and now we have the advent of new technologies like 5G, at the same time, the science around it has remained as murky as ever. There's controversy, a lot of people saying, no, no biggie, no problem. A lot of health advocates like Dr. Davis, who has a background in physics and science, has a contrary view. So without further ado, here's Dr. Davis. Thank you very much for joining us. It's really a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Okay, so first of all, frame the issue for us, because you know we know about ionizing radiation. I think many of us saw the excellent special series on HBO about Chernobyl. And the effects of nuclear radiation. That is a form of radiation. It is called ionizing radiation. I believe most of the technologies don't emit ionizing radiation. They're not like a nuclear reactor meltdown, but they do emit a kind of radiation called non-ionizing radiation. And that's where the controversy lies. Could you give us a little bit of a primer on physics so that we can better understand this?
Non-ionizing radiation does not break the bonds that hold together the nucleotides that form the basis of DNA, that double helix that is at the center of every living thing. Ionizing radiation has the power to break those bonds and therefore is much more dangerous. However, non-ionizing radiation, while it doesn't directly break bonds of the nucleotides, can in fact still damage DNA. And we know that from studies done by the U.S. National Toxicology Program and other researchers in research institutions around the world that have clearly shown DNA damage in animals when exposed to levels of non-ionizing radiation that you can get from cell phones and other devices. But the most important thing to tell your listeners is that distance is your friend. And the things we have to be most concerned about are those that are most close to our bodies. And in particular, phones are often used directly next to the head, or young women will keep them in the bras, and men, of course, carry them in their pockets. And it's the proximity to the human body that is the problem. So if you can remember, distance is your friend, generally that will be helpful advice. In fact, buried within the operating system of every single wireless device sold today is a warning about the safe distance to keep them. And one of the things that our organization, Environmental Health Trust, did was to sue the FCC because the guidance for testing phones is more than 27 years old now. At the time we filed our lawsuit, it was 24 years old. That's how long ago our lawsuit was settled in our favor, because the court said, yes, the FCC has not updated its standards since 1996. They need to update their standards. And there has been no response, even though the court ordered them to do that. And this was the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the District of Columbia, which is the court just below the Supreme Court. And even though the court ordered them to do that, the FCC has not revised the standards. And those standards allow phones to be tested up to an inch off the body. And every inch away can give you, every millimeter away, rather, it's 15% less exposure. So 15 millimeters, as you know, is a very, it's a very small amount. And if you test,
like a quarter of an inch or something like that.
Yes. If you test a phone at that distance, it might be safe, but the French government figured out that it's not. And so therefore the EU is now revamping all of their testing of devices. And in France, they've recalled millions of phones because they found that they exceed the safety guidelines, which, as I say, those guidelines are now antiquated. We think about it. When those guidelines were first developed, gas cost $1.25 a gallon. Kobe Bryant was a rookie. I mean, how long ago, unfortunately, and how sad it is that we're using technologies that were not even invented when those standards were created. We're using those technologies with safety standards that are from the last century.
Well, I think a perfect illustration of this is a TED talk that you gave, which was entitled, What Brain and Sperm Share and Why Care? And it's kind of an illustration of just what you suggested, which is, you know, the tight jeans, shove your cell phone in the front hip pocket. That's pretty proximate to a certain part of the anatomy, which might be exquisitely sensitive to the effects of non-ionizing radiation. What was the take-home from that talk?
Well, the take-home is very simple. The two fastest-growing cells in the human body are the brain of a child and the sperm of a young man. And scientific studies have shown that if you take sperm from a healthy man and put them into two test tubes, and one test tube gets exposed to cell phone radiation and the other is not, within an hour, you can induce in the exposed sperm DNA damage, damage to the mitochondrial DNA, which is the engine of the cells, three times more than in the normal sperm. Now, sperm aren't meant to live in a test tube, but there's clear evidence that sperm are damaged by proximate exposure to cell phone radiation. And in the talk, the message again was simple. We need to reduce direct exposures to young children and to men and women of reproductive age. The French have a national agency devoted to studying the impact of radiation, ionizing and non-ionizing. And in 2019, they issued a warning that pregnant women and adolescents of male and female should not have bones near their abdomens.
Hmm. Wow. That is concerning. And other countries have different standards. For example, you point out that governments such as that of Switzerland and Israel have set standards for exposure to wireless radiation that are much lower than those in the United States. And so there seems to be kind of a disparity in the regulations around those.
Well, the Israeli standards may not be necessarily lower, but something they do in Israel that's quite amazing, they have real-time information. You can log on in Israel and find out where in a tower is located, how much radiation it's emitting at that time. Real-time monitoring and information. And the French have a much more active program when it comes to surveillance and testing of phones. They do something really unusual in France. They take phones off the shelf and test them. We don't do that. In the United States, industry gives the phone they want to be tested to the lab they want to test it. The one phone gets tested once. And if you look at our website, you'll see information showing you that the iPhone, certainly the more recent generations, had levels of radiation that are very high. In fact, you may remember they were recalled because they were hot.
Yes.
And it was for the iPhone 13, it went through 5 different updates of the operating system in a period of a few weeks. And why was that? Because they were actually heating up in people's pants pockets. The Wall Street Journal reported measuring them at a 116 degrees. Mm-hmm. They were burning people at that temperature.
And that's another effect. There's a thermal effect, and the idea being that if you apply something that's, you know, ultra hot, in effect, you're getting, you know, a type of infrared radiation that's going to any organ in particular. We know, for example, that that does affect the gonads because one of the more effective ways of birth control, the Japanese introduce it, is to sit in a hot bath before intercourse. It'll diminish your sperm quality.
That is correct. But I'll tell you, another side bet in the new edition of Disconnect, which has the subtitle, A Scientist's Solutions for Safer Technology. In the new edition, we talk about the fact that hot tubs, which are very commonly used in the United States, also have that effect of reducing sperm count. But we don't want to reduce sperm count with cell phones. And all over the world today, there's been a drop in fertility.
Yes.
And we don't really know why. And it is a tragedy when it occurs in a couple that's trying to conceive. There's no question about that.
Well, so let's distinguish among different types of exposures, because we already mentioned a couple. You know, first of all, there's your cell phone, which people, you know, will routinely hold to their ears. You know, you see them walking down the street and they're talking on their cell phone. Then there's also the radiation towers. And one of the ways that you can make a little money if you've got like a failing building and the rents aren't coming in is to position a cell phone tower on top of your building. And I see them all over the place here in New York. There's also what you get from your modem or your, you know, the connection to the cable service or whatever service supplies wireless into your home. So there's wireless routers in every home. I have a concern because in my apartment, they installed a new, they just rewired my building. And ever since they did that, in my entranceway to my apartment, I can't listen to a radio. The radio is like all staticky, which is concerning to me because, unfortunately, I don't sleep in that room. The radio comes in pretty well in other parts of the apartment. But in that part of the apartment, I feel like maybe I don't want to stand in that part of the apartment for too long. So we're talking at different things. And then finally, there's, okay, people said, okay, I'm not going to hold the phone to my head because maybe that's not so good. I'm going to use wireless earbuds. They're so ubiquitous now. The sound is great. I use them when I'm running. I use them with noise cancellation when I'm on a plane. So we're talking about, you know, a lot of different types of exposure. So can you break it down for us?
There on our website, there's a YouTube video with our newest employee, Zoe Berg, who's just graduated from Tulane Law School and is our legal fellow. And in it, she does the following experiment. She takes AirPods out of a case and measures them with a meter. And you can see that they are very high in the amount of this non-ionizing radiation they emit. And then she puts them into her head and they stop registering with the meter.
What does that suggest?
Because the radiation is now going through her brain.
Ooh, the implications of that are not too savory.
We do not recommend AirPods, especially for children. Mm-hmm. If you must use one. And when you're running, let me tell you what happened here in Jackson Hole, where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Someone hiking on a trail had two AirPods in and almost walked into a grizzly with five cubs.
I can imagine that scenario.
But they weren't looking. They were listening and they weren't looking around. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're hiking in Jackson Hole, you better be paying attention.
Right. And of course, I run here in Midtown Manhattan, so there's no perils or dangers whatsoever. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, there's no grizzlies, but there are predators.
I think that you would be
there
best
are predators.
If you're going to run, I would think you would like, as you are using a wired headset right now, mm-hmm. because the sound quality is better.
Yeah.
And it's going to have static. I recommend a wired headset.
Yeah, which I used to use. Maybe you should go back to my old wired headset.
I would think you should consider it. I understand they don't work quite as well. I do understand that. And I certainly don't want to interfere with your running routine.
Right.
If you must, at your age, no offense, I think the dangers are less. They're not zero.
Yeah.
They're not zero, but the dangers are less. I'm very concerned about children. And there are growing children. We're talking 8 and 9 year olds who are using these devices. And the fastest growing market for iPads mm-hmm. and smartphones is infants and toddlers.
It's the electronic babysitter. It's very scary. Yeah.
Oh, it is. And the psychiatrists are up in arms about what this is doing to the ability of children to look you in the eye, to pay attention, to learn how to share, to learn how to think about other people, to develop empathy. There's a whole host of things that there are serious concerns about being generated by the electronification of childhood. I'm sure you I've heard of the book by Jonathan Haidt.
The
Anxious Generation.
Yes.
And Professor Haidt points out that when you give your child a smartphone, their childhood is over. You may think that you have limits and controls, but these children learn how to get around them. They create fake accounts with fake names. And for teenage girls, the damage is dreadful. There's another industry that's exploding, and that's cosmetics for preteens and
Indeed.
Facials for young girls. These girls are giving themselves facials. They're 9, 10, 11 years old.
Well, we're sacrificing an entire younger generation on the altar of commerce, basically, because we're commodifying them and monetizing them. And that is really a shame. So the other type of exposure is with the wireless. And I think I do recall that in a previous conversation with you, you said one of the important things to do is shut off your wireless when you go to sleep, you know, because you're going to use it during the day. Yes. Okay. You know, that's a necessary evil, but is there a danger of cumulative exposure to a wireless router, say it's in your bedroom, for example?
Again, if you can possibly avoid it, don't have a wireless router where you sleep or directly close to you at any point, where you work or where you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Your router should be as far away from you as possible. And it's a trade-off. Frankly, the best solution is to go wired. If you have a wire, as I'm using now as I'm talking to you, you use your wired device. You can connect even, of course, MacBook Pro makes you pay more for it. You get a little device.
A dongle. Yeah.
Yeah. A dongle, and it plugs in. And that's the only way you know you have a secure connection, frankly. And I recommend that. That is the best thing to do. If you have to have a wireless router, it can be powered to the lowest power possible. And there's ways to set it that people And this is, again, an interesting issue. There are companies now that are poised to market routers with low power that work, and those are preferable. The best router is to be no router, wireless only, plugged in.
Right.
No wire.
So that would be like a LAN connection, in other words, to your computers. Is that what you're saying?
An Ethernet connection.
An Ethernet connection.
Connection to your LAN. Yes. That's the best thing to do. But if you can't do that, then your wireless router should be as far away as possible from where people spend a lot of time in your household. And it's more challenging in an urban environment. There's no question about it. It is much more challenging.
Indeed.
But again, I would say that distance is your friend. And there is something else I want to mention. There is a significant segment of the population, some people say as much as 10 to 20%, who experience something that goes by the name of electro-hypersensitivity, electromagnetic radiation illness, and they are acutely sensitive to the effects of wireless radiation. And really, many of these people cannot function very well in the modern world.
Right.
Or have to go to great lengths. They have to barricade themselves into with shielding of that can work to produce less radiation overall. And these people are suffering greatly because of their exposures. And it's a really big challenge because there are children in school with headaches and rashes. And unexplained stomach aches that nobody can account for that are for real. And when you take them out of a school.
They say it's a psychosomatic ailment. You know, it's like people are confabulating this.
Well, of course they say that because the symptoms are some overlapping with those that you would associate with psychological problems. Besides which, if you're really allergic to electricity, of course you're going to develop psychological symptoms. It's a terrible thing for people to have to live like that. And I certainly am. I'm glad I don't suffer from it myself, but I understand that it's a real phenomenon. And I know that I have colleagues like Dr. Sharon Goldberg, who treat people with this illness. And people in Canada, there's a 6-month waiting list to treat at the Toronto Women's Hospital, a woman, Dr. Rena Bray, who's been treating people for, I think, 5 years in a clinic devoted to electromagnetic illness and injury. And it's for real. It is.
Is Havana syndrome kind of a sentinel for this type of damage? Because Havana syndrome is where I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that EMFs or ultrasound is weaponized to physically damage, permanently alter brain function.
You are correct as to what Havana illness has been described, and the National Academy of Sciences issued a report on this. Dr. Beatrice Gollum at University of California, have you interviewed her?
Yes, in the past. Not on this subject, but yes.
But you know, she's a brilliant woman who certainly is convinced of this. And yet, there's been an effort by some of the U.S. intelligence agencies to make the whole thing seem to be psychosomatic. I don't believe it's psychosomatic. And when I looked at it, I was convinced that this had all the markings of what the Soviets reported in the 1960s of radiation sickness.
Indeed.
And brain damage that was confirmed by examination by other physicians with MRI and CAT scans, that brain damage is not psychosomatic.
Right, that there's the functional MRIs, PET scans, and so on reveal changes in the micro architecture and energy uptake of different parts of the brain. So that is not merely a figment of one's imagination. So you've laid down our groundwork for our discussion about EMFs and the hazards they pose to us. In your book, Disconnect, The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It and How to Protect Your Family, this is actually the second edition of that book, because it's a lot has transpired since.
Actually, if I may, the new edition has the subtitle, A Scientist's Solutions for Safer Technology. So would you please say the subtitle with the correct subtitle, which should have been sent to you with the PDF.
It was, but they gave us the old one.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
A Scientist's Solution.
Solutions, plural, for safer technology.
Okay, great. And that is a constructive approach because, you know, some people might label you a Luddite, Dr. Davis, you know, that you're standing in the way of progress and you just want us to abandon all our electronic devices and go back to, 1957 when we had, dial phones, you know, the ones with the circular dials, and that was it. But that is not the case. I think you are, you know, here we are on Zoom. We're taking it, we're leveraging the advantages of technology. Technology is here to stay. But I think the thrust of your book, the new edition, is how to keep it within safe bounds.
That is correct. I'm not anti-technology. I'm just pro-health. And I realize that there are other countries, notably Switzerland and Israel, that do a lot better job. In Israel and France, when you buy a phone, it comes with information about how to use it more safely. And you can't buy a phone without some kind of headset, generally, a plug-in headset. Now, we've been moving away from plug-in headsets, as you know.
Not even an option for that anymore on an iPhone. You know, you've got to get a special adapter to make that happen.
Well, no, the headset plugs into the same place that you charge.
Exactly. No, I know, but you have to get an adapter. In other words, the default is that you're going to use, earbuds,
Yes. Yes. I understand that.
Yep.
And I think that, to be quite frank, I have thought for years that all we needed to do was tell people what the science said. I'm changing my mind. I don't think that the science is enough. I think the gloves have to come off. And I think the conclusion of a Harvard University report, which is on our website, that says the FCC is a captured agency and that it's practicing the tactics at big tobacco. It's time to tell people that. This is not even playing field.
This is going to be the focus of part two, because the big elephant of the room is a new report that has been released by the WHO, the World Health Organization, which has, in effect, exonerated cell phones and electronic devices because they did an extensive review, they say, and they could not detect a signal of danger. So we'll tackle that. I know you have a very, very informed critique of that study. We'll talk about that in part two. That's what they call in radio a tease. Folks,
look forward to it.
Pardon me?
I look forward to it.
Indeed. So in part two, we'll tackle that. We'll talk a little bit about the newest iteration of this technology, 5G, and what difference does it make in terms of our risk exposure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Dr. Deborah Davis. You can find out about her at ehtrust.org, author of Disconnect. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.